Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Liberty GB Weekly Roundup for June 1st of 2014. I am your moderator. I am Cal Fritzy, and joining me is the radio officer, Tim Burton. And hello, Tim. How are you this evening?
Well, good evening, Cal. I'm very well. Thank you very much. And how the devil are you tonight?
Absolutely fine. And this evening, we are going to be discussing the Euro elections. And I have some thoughts about that, and of course Mr. Paul Weston has some thoughts which we're going to share, and the outreach officer Jack Buckby has a sound clip that we're going to share with everybody. Actually, for a very young party, Tim, I was rather impressed. 2,494 votes. That is phenomenal for a brand new party.
Well, yes, indeed. And they do say that great oaks come from little acorns, and any new party is going to take a little time to establish itself. But all the same, I was extremely impressed at the level of support that was displayed, especially, you know, given that a lot of people were obviously looking towards UKIP as a party to make big changes. It was very encouraging to see that people were taking a look at Liberty GB as being an alternative to the three major parties that have been representing the UK for so long. And I think it's an extremely encouraging sign, Kel. Extremely encouraging.
And we have a message from Paul Weston, which I'm going to relate to the listeners. In the European elections 2014, Liberty GB polled 2,494 votes in the Southeast region. We make a heartfelt thanks to all of those who donated, supported, and voted for us. Liberty GB is just over 1 year old and is not yet a household name, so we did not realistically expect to take a large slice of the vote. Every part has to start somewhere, and the biggest challenge is to create a political profile large enough for the mainstream media to be unable to ignore. We know that our policies are in line with the views of many native British people. Our job over the coming months is to make sure everyone hears about us and to establish Liberty GB as one of the more most credible parties in Britain dedicated in halting and reversing third world immigration and Islamization, the greatest threats to this country's cohesion and security since the Second World War. Building a political party takes time. UKIP is now 20 years old, and our realistic aim is to make inroads in the 2015 general elections and a big impact in 2020. In order to achieve this, we need ongoing support from all our members and supporters. The reality of a small party's first electoral outing can be harsh, but it is a necessary step towards later political influence and power. Given time and media presence, Liberty GB will build into a force to be reckoned with over the coming years. Finally, my thanks again to all the brave and selfless souls who enabled Liberty GB to stand in an election and announce ourselves to the establishment. With your support, we will continue to build and develop towards the day when the political traitor class will not only have to recognize us, but to fear us as well. Paul Weston, Chairman, Liberty GB. And there you go.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah, I think that Paul said exactly the right thing in under the circumstances. It is a small party. Every single political party anywhere in the world probably only started up with one or two people getting together and saying, we need to change things. We need to change the way things are done. And that's what Liberty GB has done. And they've put together a very impressive political party in the time that they have had to them in the last 12 months, fielding several candidates, putting together a constructive mission statement and a website which displays pretty much everything you need to know about Liberty GB, and they have garnered a great deal of support. And I'm very pleased to see that actually translated into votes at the ballot box. And great oaks from little acorns, and that's what Paul Weston expanded on in his speech that you just read out there.
I think that's wonderful. I'm going to put this in the chat room for people because people might want to read that amongst themselves a little later on too.
Okay.
And so there we go, in the chat room. I was rather impressed with Paul Weston, Enza Fieri, and of course Jack Butby, and of course George Weah, in that they were able to establish a party that down the road I feel will be a force in England. What Paul Weston said in his statement of thanks is that wait until, you know, we really get rolling, and I think he will. I love the spirit of the Liberty GB. I love the drive. I love the commitment. I love the devotion. And I love the fact that they are going to go places, I think. Paul Weston is a real go-getter. The whole team are go-getters. For Paul Weston to put himself out there and garner such talent is phenomenal to me. I am jealous, Tim. I'm in Canada, and we don't have anything like this in Canada. We have the old horse establishments, the political establishments. Of course, the best one that I can go with is with the Conservative Party of Canada. But if we had a Liberty GB-type organization in Canada, I think that would change the political landscape immensely.
I'm sure it would, Kel. I mean, the great thing about Liberty GB, if you read through their mission statement on the website, is that they address an awful lot of things which the existing political parties don't seem to want to touch at all. And these are things that are important to the future, not only of the specific country that Liberty GB represent, which is obviously the UK, but they embody principles which should be taken on board by people interested in continuing our existence as a Judeo-Christian civilization in every Western democracy that there is. The message that Liberty GB have isn't just for people in the United Kingdom, it's for everybody. And so I too echo in what you say, in that it would be great if we could have a party like Liberty GB in somewhere like Canada, because they've got policies which address so many things that the mainstream parties just don't want to touch. Chief, of course, amongst those is the Islamization of our Western democracies, and it's something that very few people want to talk about. Although I did actually hear a very interesting comment from the Czechoslovakian Prime Minister earlier this week, where he said in response to the murders that took place in outside the Jewish Museum in Brussels, he said that attacks like this are not just they're not just caused by rogue terrorists that are operating on their own. They actually have an ideology behind it, and he was referring, of course, to the Islamic ideology. This is something that very few people want to touch, and I think things like that need to be addressed a lot more. But yeah, where you've got policies like Liberty GB have, once Liberty GB and similar organisations like it, if we can get similar things established in different countries, once they start making themselves known and they start speaking about these things, I think it's going to be just like the case of The Emperor's New Clothes, which is something I have mentioned before on the show. Nobody wants to talk about it at the moment because it's such a sensitive issue for the people, but once it starts being discussed commonly amongst people, and we can get rid of this political correctness and multiculturalism that stops it being discussed freely, once it starts to be discussed freely, people will start to say, oh yeah, you know, we knew that all the time really, but we just didn't want to say. And of course Islamic ideology is behind all the evil, not all the evil things we see in the world, but a large number of evil things that we see in the world. And we just need to stand up for what is right, and we need to call Islamic ideology out for the evil that it is. And if Liberty GB helps us to go through that process, then more power to them, I say. And I really hope that people take Liberty GB as a template for other Western democracies and do the same things in other countries, and certainly in Canada.
Absolutely. And you'll have to bear with me. I'm having trouble with loading my pages, and I'm trying to bring up that article of the Czechoslovakian president, and it won't load for me, so my apologies, because I find that to be an absolute fascinating article. This is exactly the sort of thing that we want to see, and that we have our world leaders, our Western leaders, speaking out about the issues of Islam, and in fact declaring what this president did declare. And Tim, if you can bring up that article, I would really appreciate that, because for some reason I can't get my pages to load, and I'm getting a little put off by that.
Yeah, no problem. I'll see what I can find. All right.
It's about time. And ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to me on my other radio programs, and I do quite a few radio programs here on Blog Talk Radio, you will hear me bring up the issue of Islamization in the West. And my goal, my letter-writing campaign is going strong. I'm getting a team together. We are going to start petitioning our respective governments to declare Islam as not a protected status religion, but as a political entity, and hopefully have it banned from the West. This is what the Liberty GB is striving to do as well, is to allow you to make choices in how you want your countries to be conducted. The politicians have to be held accountable for the widespread allowances that are afforded to Muslims. And I don't even say Islamist anymore. I say Muslims, because Muslims are not taking responsibility for their so-called religion, which, of course, we know it is not. There is a real issue out there, and for this president to declare this is absolutely fantastic. And that is Czech President Miloš Zeman. And Tim, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. This link that I've put in is from Times of Israel. There is also one somewhere that I've got from the Prague Post, but the Times of Israel sums it up pretty reasonably, so I've dropped that one into the chat room for you.
This is fascinating in that he came out and said this. I don't know if there I wonder if there's going to be any ramifications behind his statement. I don't know. Do you think there's a fatwa on his head now?
Well, it probably will be in the this is the problem that political leaders generally in they're cagey about what they say about Islam at all, and they do not want to rock the boat on their watch. And I feel sure this is part of the reason that they don't say more about it. So for somebody like the Czech president, the leader of a European country, to come out and say the problem is Islamic ideology. Okay, that is a hugely significant step in my view, and it may be that not that many people have picked up on it up to now, but I think it will be seen in the future as maybe the start of something really big, because we only need, as I was saying, we only need one person. Like in the story of the Emperor's New Clothes, where a child can say, and said the Emperor has no clothes. If we have one democracy, like the Czech Republic, where the leader stands up and says, actually, the problem is Islam, okay, and we all need to recognise it, I feel that it could be the start of something big. And if we get other countries to comment on the back of that, to say, well, actually, maybe he's got a point, I think we could really be onto a good thing here. So I certainly hope so. If he ends up with a fatwa on his head, of course, it won't be a surprise to anybody, because Muslims, as we know, are not altogether keen about having their ideology criticised. You know, I have heard that some of them can get a little upset. That's what I've heard, Kel. I don't know if there's any truth in that rumour.
Oh, I've heard those rumours, absolutely. What we're going to do, though, is that we are primarily discussing the issue of the Euro elections. I want to get back, though, to this Czech Republic president, though, Tim, but what we should do right now is play that message from Jack Buckby, and he's the outreach officer. So, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen to this.
Hi all, it's Jack Buckby here. I was your candidate for the South East of England constituency in the European elections on the 22nd of May. I'm also the outreach officer for Liberty GB. I thought it would probably be nice if I just gave you a quick update, a quick video explaining what happened with the elections, how we're going to move forward, and the general state that Liberty GB is in now. So as you probably know, we got 2,494 votes. For a brand new party that, let's face it, nobody's really heard of at all, I think that's quite good. I feel quite positive about the future, because compared, obviously, to the 700-something thousand that UKIP got, 2,000 doesn't sound like much, but if you think, actually 2,494 people actually went out and put a cross next to our name. So that's 2,500 people that know about us and explicitly support us. Then, of course, you have to remember that a lot of people did receive our leaflets in the southeast. Every home in Portsmouth and Southampton, in fact. So 200,000 leaflets went out. Now, I'm absolutely certain that the message that we gave in those leaflets resonated with people in those areas. I know they did, because that's the general feeling of the UK. We're concerned about immigration, we're concerned about Islamization, we're concerned about multiculturalism. But many people that did receive those leaflets and thought, these guys sound good, probably still went and voted UKIP anyway. Because people see UKIP as, perhaps right, correctly so, as the best way to stick it to the establishment and the best way to get out of the European Union. And that's something we've really got to tackle going forward. So I don't feel negative at all about our vote. We came second to last in the region. Nationally, yes, indeed, we did come last, but do remember, we only stood in one constituency. So when you're put up against parties that have been in numerous constituencies, of course we're going to come last. So that's not something to feel down about. Now, going forward, obviously we've got the general election coming up in May 2015. That's something we will definitely be standing in, and it's the election where we think we can, it will be the first time that we actually make ourselves well known, and people think, ah, well, who are these guys, and can they do something? People will really know about us in 2015. We're not going to officially announce where exactly we're going to stand yet. We've got to do a little bit of research and make sure that we get it perfect. We will, however, definitely be standing in the southeast, because that's where every single voter that went out has seen us. Every single person that's gone to the ballot box and looked at their long, it was a very long ballot list in the southeast, have seen Liberty Great Britain at the bottom. People know us there, and it's the best place for us to start. We'll probably also stand in some places in the north. We can't confirm anything yet, but we will try and spread out a little. And we've got some great people in Liberty GB who can be candidates. And if you think you'd make a great candidate as well, then please do get in touch. As I say, we can't confirm anything yet, but it would be great to hear from our members about going forward with the general election. Obviously, to do this, we're going to need quite a bit of money. We will officially start the campaign soon, once we've, you know, dotted some I's and crossed some T's. But we will need your support going forward. We have to make ourselves known as the only credible counter-jihad party in the UK, because, of course, UKIP's there. But the reason we exist is because UKIP, frankly, doesn't talk about immigration properly. They still believe in allowing between 50,000 and 100,000 immigrants per year. They don't tackle Islam. They continue to toe the politically correct line, and anybody who talks about Sharia or Islam generally is kicked out of the party. Now, it would be fantastic if UKIP spoke about these things. Liberty GB wouldn't have to exist, and we would support UKIP, but they don't talk about these things. And we know most of their voters want them to. Take, for instance, when I spoke at the hustings in Newbury just before the election. I was there against Ray Finch, who is from UKIP. He's now a member of European Parliament. He was the fourth on the list in the South East. Now, I wasn't too impressed by Ray Finch at all. And to be honest, I don't think many people in the audience were either. When I spoke, I got the, without question, the best response. But what amazed me is that even UKIP supporters in the audience, and there were quite a few wearing their UKIP badges, applauded the Liberty GB message more than they did UKIP. Because their message was, Europe is bad, they don't do much in Europe. That's all they say. And at Liberty GB, we think, well, actually, no. Europe isn't a good thing. The European Union isn't a good thing. But it's not as simple as saying that the European Union don't do anything, because that's wrong. The European Union does a lot of things, but our message is that what they do is bad for us. That's where we differentiate. But we also set ourselves apart by saying, well, actually, there is more to this issue. There is more issues in the UK that need tackling than just the European Union. We need to talk about the serious effects that Islam has on our Western civilization and our freedoms. UKIP won't talk about that. So to wrap up, general election time is when we make ourselves known for the first time as the only credible party in the UK that is opposed to Islamization. The only credible party that doesn't hate people because of their race, but at the same time accepts that there's a problem with immigration. A party that doesn't hate individual Muslims, but accepts the reality that Islam is fundamentally incompatible with a Western liberal democracy. We have the facts on our side. And if we have you on our side too, then we can make huge gains. We can start seriously making a difference. And if we can show ourselves as serious competitors in the 2015 general election, not to gain government, but in individual seats, to really put pressure on the Tories and on UKIP, if we can make ourselves known there, then going forward, we will become even more powerful. And our message will spread like wildfire. But as I say, to do that, we really do need your help. So thank you to everybody who supported us with the election in the Southeast. Thank you to every single person that voted for us. I know there's a lot of people on our Facebook page and our YouTube page who voted for us, and thank you so much for that. We really do appreciate it. But moving forward, we need lots more. So please, if you're not a member already, do become a member. It doesn't cost much. It's about £10, and that gives you an annual membership, and it helps us immensely. We can start creating regional branches and really start to grow. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you, and here's to the future.
And that was from Jack Buckby, and he is the outreach officer for Liberty GB. These people are very fine people. They are honest people. They don't go around shaking hands and kissing babies. No, they're getting the job done. And as we mentioned before, it is absolutely phenomenal that the votes that they garnered, 2,494. That is absolutely unbelievable for such a young party. Very impressive. So thank you, Jack Buckby, for that, and Paul Weston, you as well. Now, Tim and I were speaking about a variety of issues and what's going on in Europe. Liberty GB, we concentrate on the issues of what's going on in Europe, but we also talk about what's going on globally. And Tim brought up a very, very interesting story, and that is about the Czech president, Milo Zeman, and how he came out and said, look, it's not radicals. It's not Islamists. The whole problem behind Islam is Islam itself. Tim, I'm hoping that this catches on.
I think a picture speaks a thousand words, and the Liberty GB new logo does have a rather distinctive appearance, I have to say, and people will look at that and they'll say, "What on earth is all that about?" But the logo for anybody who's been paying attention to what's going on generally with Islam and with countries in the Middle East, and in particular, symbol that is the logo of the Liberty GB on that link that you put in the chat room, represents the Shahada, which I would have to correct me if I'm wrong, but that looks like the flag of I don't know if it's Saudi Arabia. I thought that might have been on a green background, but certainly the Shahada is one of the distinctive Arabic character groupings that you're likely to see whenever there's an Islamic demonstration anywhere, and you see Muslims who want to promote the Islamic cause. That particular Arabic character grouping is quite common. And for those people who don't know what the Shahada is, it's a declaration of faith that every Muslim must make if he is to become a devout, well, I say a professional Muslim. In fact, for an aside, I think we should start using the word professional Muslim in place of devout Muslim, because devout implies that the religious characteristics are most important, where professional implies that the professional and political characteristics of Islam are to the fore. I mentioned that as an aside, because it was mentioned to me last month by Professor Hans Janssen, and I quizzed him on it, and he said, well, it is true that most people refer to Muslims who are serious about Islam as devout Muslims, but referring to them as professional Muslims is actually far closer to the truth. Anyway, I digress. The important thing is that the logo is recognised by everybody who sees it as something that we should, in fact, be extremely cautious about whenever we see it. And certainly it's not something that we want to see in any Western country, and it's certainly not something we want to see in the UK. And having a broad diagonal red stripe put across that logo with the background of the British flag really does sum it up. It's actually quite clever. And we don't want to see any kind of representation like that anywhere in British public life, because to display the Shahada like that is basically saying we're going to put Islam in your face. And we don't want that, because we have quite enough with Muslims pushing Islam and putting it in our face at the moment. And any more of it is most unwelcome. And we need to start rolling back what we have.
Do you think it's a little over the top, though? It's quite bold. It's very bold.
Well, it's extremely bold. Yes, it's extremely bold. Is it a little over the top? Well, it depends what sort of impression you want to make. If you want to put something out there that is really striking and is really going to make an impression on people, then there is an argument to be made that that actually does that job quite well. And if it gets people asking questions and saying, well, what do all those squiggles mean? And it gives you an opportunity to explain what the Shahada is, what it means to Muslims, what Muslims intend if they get half a chance to push Islam onto an unsuspecting country like ours. Because I use the word unsuspecting deliberately, because most people in the UK don't really have a clue about what Islam is all about. If you say to the average man in the street, what do you know about Islam? He'll say, well, it's a religion, isn't it? And I heard a Muslim say one time that it's a religion of peace. And if he doesn't get his information from anywhere else apart from the mainstream media, he might go on for quite a while believing that Islam is a religion and it's a religion of peace. And in fact, it's none of those things. So putting out a logo like this gives people the opportunity to explain that, in fact, there is something about Islam which we need to know, that it's an undesirable thing, which is represented by the diagonal stripe across it, and it's likely to affect our country, which is why our flag is in the background. So, it might seem a little over the top to start with, but when you look at what's behind that, I actually think it's quite a clever way of putting something out there that will make people curious, make them ask questions, and get a little bit more about Islam into the public space. Because the big problem at the moment is the only people that are getting Islam into the public space are Muslims. And Islam that they're getting into the public space is actually a complete lie. They're pushing a version of Islam which is, if you like, you could call it official Islam, if you like. It's the version of Islam that's promoted by Muslims. It's promoted by the mainstream media. It's promoted by our political elite. And it's a complete and utter fiction. It's a lie. It's completely untrue. And to be able to discuss it and to explain the truth about it to an unsuspecting public, I think is really crucial to raising awareness and getting that in our society. So I'm actually quite impressed with it. You might say it's a little over the top, and I understand what you mean by that, and I can certainly see that some people might think that. But I think it's actually quite clever.
I don't think it's over the top. I think it's just very bold.
Yes, it's. Is, but I think there's good reason for it. Yeah.
If anybody knows me as a counter-jihadist, you'll hear me say that this is rather tame on Cal Fritzi's scale.
Yes, that's the Foxy scale of 1 to 10 that we all know and love. And you know when it's getting close to 10 because the air turns blue. But there are things which you could put out there that would frankly turn people off. If you put some of the graphic things out there that Islam is responsible for in graphic and pictorial terms, it will turn a lot of people off. I've had this said to me a lot of times. A lot of the things that you see out there that Islam is actually responsible for is so stomach-churning, it actually makes people turn away. And when people turn away, it's a natural human reaction, but you then can't really get the full message across to people, which is what's behind it all. Putting a logo out there like this makes people ask questions. If they don't understand what all those Arabic squiggles mean, they'll say, you know, what does it mean? And it gives you an opening whereby you can what the truth is about Islam. So I think it's actually not a bad idea from that point of view.
I want a t-shirt.
Well, yes, and indeed, why not? If you had a t-shirt with that on it, you would probably find the reaction would be, hey, that's an interesting looking t-shirt. And I'm not just talking about the assets that might be filling it. I'm talking about the logo that's printed on the front of it. And people would maybe be drawn to ask questions about what that logo is and what it means. And I think that's half the battle, is getting people curious enough to ask you about it. Because, you know, if you just go out there with a T-shirt saying, I hate his laughing like that, nobody responds to that. They
Oh yeah, absolutely. And when people see a logo like that, they're curious. What does that mean? They see the Arabic and they see the sword underneath and they see the red line going through it. And you may engage in dialogue, or you may get beaten up in the streets by, I don't know. But it's very important in this day and age. It's funny, Tim. I was reading a story out of the National Post this morning, and they were discussing something different, rather controversial. It had to do with gender wars, and I'm not going to discuss that. What I am going to discuss, though, is what the article has said in the column, in that when they were discussing gender wars, they said that this could be the new 2000, going into the next decade of 21st century, rather, I should say. And this could be as big as what Islam in the West was. I kind of balked because the way it was written, I was thinking, the way Islam in the West was? No, Islam in the West, it's still very much a powerful topic of discussion. Islam is not going anywhere. It's almost like they were treating it like Islam was a fad to badger.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who would like to present the problem with Islam in those terms. They would like it to be trivialized. They would like people to think that Islam is no longer a threat, or if it ever was a threat, that the forces of law and order and so on have defeated it or tamed it to a point where it's no longer a threat. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who'd want us to think exactly that. And what better way to do it than by distracting us with something else? Now, you're talking about gender wars. I mean, I have the same discussion with a lot of people about how not many people take the threat of Islam seriously because they're too busy concentrating on keeping their job, keeping a roof over their head, feeding their kids, putting food on the table, and watching Street Come Dancing or Britain's Got Talent on a Saturday night. They don't want to be bothered about this subject of Islam because, you know, it's quite a big, scary subject to some people, and they're only too happy to be distracted. So I think that when people come along and say, well, hey, now we've got the gender wars to worry about, you know, you can forget about Islam because the really important thing now is the gender wars, I think that they are deliberately distracting from the most important issue of the 21st century, because there's no doubt about it. Islam, the threat of encroaching Islamization is the most important issue. And the reason that I say that is if we don't solve this problem in our favor and constrain, contain and control Islam to the point where it's no longer a threat to our civilizations, our civilization will be crushed by Islam in the same way that previous civilizations have been crushed, and millions of people will suffer in the process. And not only that, but it will set back the advancement of humanity by 1,000 years. And I'm not being alarmist when I say this. You only have to Google Tears of Jihad to see the history of Islam over the past 1,000 years, well, over the past 1,400 years, to see that what I'm saying is absolutely true. I'm not making it up, and it really is that big a threat. And for people to come along and trivialize it and say, well, there's something else you can worry about now, you can forget about Islam, it's not important anymore, I think that's just part of the distraction process that Muslims will be only too pleased to push, because it means we'll let our guard down even more at the time when we need to be fighting back even harder.
And this is why I speak up, and I'm not quiet. I'm very loud. I'm very bold, and this is why I think the logo is rather tame in my eyes. I think, though, I have a vested interest in that. Being a woman, I am more than aware of what Islam is capable of, and the Sharia law in particular. And I would be worth less than a goat in Pakistan, and I would be dispensable, and that if I disobey my husband, he can beat me to death. But if I, you know, go near his goat, oh, there you go. You got a village war going on there. But I find the whole concept of Islam in the West and the people that tolerate it rather unbelievable, Tim, rather unbelievable. And the politicians afraid to touch it. Yes, you're right. I don't understand that, though. We have women dying in the streets, literally, under the thumb of Islam globally. And you, when you talk about the graphics and you talk about the articles that we are now able to view on the Internet, they still don't understand exactly what's going on within the realm of Islam. I don't understand that, Tim. I don't understand. I'm just so confused. As a woman, I have a vested interest to combat this scourge.
Well, yes, indeed. And I think it comes back to what I was saying earlier about official Islam, which is the Islam that is being pushed by Muslims, the Islam that is being pushed by the mainstream media and by our political elites. It's a complete and utter fiction. It's a lie. It's not true. And yet it's being pushed to the extent that a lot of, respectable groups and respectable people, a lot of people are taken in by it. And nobody who has been taken in by the lie of official Islam wants to be seen as being offensive to Muslims. So even though they may have heard rumors about what happens in Muslim countries, and even though we know that it's because of the Islamic ideology, these people who do not wish to offend Muslims will find any other reason they can in order to not to blame Islam. They'll say, oh, it's just local culture, or they'll say the stories have been exaggerated, or they'll say it's probably something to do with climate change or something like that. Anything but blame the real cause, the root cause of the problem, which is Islamic ideology. All right, you might say it's a natural human reaction not to cause offence to people, and in certain circumstances that is commendable. But we're talking about the survival of our very civilization here, and if we are too pander to Muslim sensitivities when it comes to the survival of our civilization, we are actually going to lose everything that our ancestors and forefathers fought for over the last few hundred years, if you like, everything that they fought for to give us the freedoms that we currently enjoy. That will all disappear, because there is no freedom for people like you and I, under mm-hmm. In fact, there's no real freedom for anybody, but there is a lot less freedom for people who are not Muslim, and there's certainly a lot less freedom for women and for certain minorities like gays and so on. There's no freedom at all, and so the Islam is profoundly anti-humanity, and it needs to be fought. And we've got out of the habit of fighting things that are evil. I think I've said one of the scourges of the past 50 or 60 years is the fact that we have been comparatively prosperous, and we haven't had to fight for our lives for anything in living memory. I mean, okay, there have been conflicts. I mean, Americans will say, well, what about Vietnam and so on and so on. But we here in the UK haven't had a major conflict in 70 years. We've had we've had things like Northern Ireland, we've had things like the Falklands, but we haven't had a conflict which has threatened to completely destroy our civilization and our way of life. And we've forgotten what it's like to fight real evil when it's amongst us, and we're going to have to relearn it all over again. And yeah, you're right when you get these feminists who come out there and they won't say a word against Islam. They feel that by being sensitive to Muslims, aware of Muslim sensitivities, that's somehow a good thing. But it's not. It's a very bad thing to be tolerant to intolerance. And there is nothing more intolerant than the Islamic ideology. It's the most intolerant ideology on the face of the planet.
Absolutely. And we cover issues not only within the UK, but we cover issues globally. You've heard us discuss what's going on in the Czech Republic. Tim, I have a clip here that I think the listeners would be rather interested in hearing, and I'm going to play that right now for everybody.
I'm not going to put my wife in a hijab, and I'm not going to put my daughter in a burqa, and I'm not getting on my all fours and praying in Mecca, and you can drop dead if you don't like it. You can shove it up your pipe. I don't want to hear any more about Islam. I don't want to hear one more word about Islam. Take your religion and shove it up your behind. I'm sick of you. Your Bible has been revised several times. Jewish Bible has been revived several times. Not the Quran, though. They still live in the 7th century. Kill homosexuals. Cut the clitoris off women. Put women in dark clothing. Cut off anyone's head who doesn't agree with you. What kind of religion is this? What kind of world are you living in that you let them in here with that throwback document in their hand, which is a book of hate? Don't tell me I need re-education. They need deportation. I don't need re-education. Deportation, not re-education. You can take CAIR and throw them out of my country. I'd raise the American flag and I'd get out my trumpet if you did it. Without due process. You can take your due process and shove it. I have never lived through a brainwashing like I've lived through for the last 5 years. Every day another story, sweet-selling Islam and the Quran. It goes in the face. It's so counterintuitive. Wherever you look on the earth, there's a bomb going off or a car going up in flames, and it's Muslims screaming for the blood of Christians or Jews or anyone they hate. And every day we're told the opposite here. Everything we know to be true, we're told, oh, don't believe what your mind tells you. Believe what the diversity trainers tell you. Believe what the government tells you. It's a religion of peace. Well, why don't they prove it's a religion of peace? Why don't they put down their hateful little book for a few minutes and tell us why, when we pick up their hateful little book, I can read chapter and verse. I can see what it says in their book of hate. It says that if you see a stranger who is not a Muslim, either convert him or kill him. Page after page after page is about religion, a religion that teaches convert or kill. A religion that says oppress women, kill homosexuals, kill the Jew, kill the Christian, kill the infidel. Page after page after page. And we're supposed to sit here and listen to this rubbish about a religion of peace. And every day Bush brings in thousands of more of these throwbacks. Throwbacks wearing medieval costumes, walking around spitting on the ground every time they see a Christian or a Jew or a so-called infidel. These throwbacks think they're better than you underneath it all. And 90% of them are on welfare. 90% of them come in here and all they do is breed more bombers. More bombers and more bombers. And you're telling me this is the same country? There, I gave it to you from the bottom of my heart. If you don't like it, it's too damn bad. Go right to the FCC. It's time to stop hiding behind your pillow. Speak it out at the supermarket. Tell them what you think of Islam. Tell them what you think of Muslims. Tell them what you think of these things. Stop hiding what you feel. Say it to everybody you meet. Let them prove it's a religion of peace. Say it on the supermarket line. And don't care what stares you get from those dumb idiots who are checking out behind you with their Cracker Jacks. Say it to everybody you meet wherever you go. If America started to say it like it is, we could take the country back from the maniacs who are bringing them in by the tens of thousands. What sane nation that worships the U.S. Constitution, which is the greatest document of freedom ever written, would bring in people who worship a book that tells them the exact opposite? Make no mistake about it, the Quran is not a document of freedom. The Quran is a document of slavery and chattel. It teaches you that you are a slave.
Silence! I kill you!
Something's going to happen. Something wonderful.
And God bless you, Michael Savage, American radio host, speaking the truth. Boy, I wish we had more politicians like that, eh, Tim?
Well, yes, indeed. We do seem to have very few people. In fact, I can't name a single politician in the main parties that we currently have here in the UK who has got anywhere near the kind of principle that, the person we just heard speaking has. Indeed. Paul Weston, I always refer to him as a very principled politician, and I think that's extremely true. We do need people with principles. We do need people who can stand up and explain the difference between good and evil, because it seems that a lot of people have forgotten how to tell the difference. Or maybe they were never taught how to tell the difference and never needed to learn. But we are going to have to learn very, very quickly, because we are currently faced with something evil and powerful. And if we don't respond to that, to defeat it and to crush it and to take away the threat that it poses to our civilization, we are all going to be the poorer for it. So we're going to have to find people of principle, and we are going to have to put them into places where our current crop of politicians are manifestly incapable of doing the job that's needed.
Absolutely. And with that, we are winding down the show, ladies and gentlemen. We want to congratulate Liberty GB for a phenomenal return, and that they garnered over 2,000 votes, close to 2,500 votes, and boy, Tim, for, like I mentioned at the beginning of the program, that is extremely impressive. And believe me, Liberty GB is not going anywhere. And I'm going to read to you what their mission statement is, and that is, Liberty GB will address all the political issues Great Britain currently faces, something the three main parties, along with UKIP, so conspicuously failed to do. The Liberal Democrats, Labour, and Conservatives manifestly refuse to discuss the most important issues of our time, namely mass immigration from the EU and Third World, the steady rise of fundamentalist Islam, and the hijacking of traditional British culture and institutions by well-organized left-wing progressives. There is no guarantee at such a late stage that Britain can be saved, but Liberty GB will endeavor to put a stop to our rapidly accelerating descent into economic, educational, moral, cultural, and social ruin. Britain can be a wonderful country again, but it will take a politics bordering on the revolutionary to achieve this vision. If you are of similar mind, Liberty GB welcomes your participation. And please, for archive listeners, Liberty GB website is right there for you. Join the Liberty GB. Help them out. Let's get England back. And it's so little of your time. It's so important that we support Liberty GB, and let's get them more votes in the 2015 general elections. Right, Tim?
Well, yes, certainly. And for anybody who's not that familiar with Liberty GB, I would urge you to do what Kel says. Take a look at the website, find out more about them, and support them in whatever way you can. Now, Kel's read out the mission statement. There's a lot more on the Liberty GB website if you take a look, and I've posted a link to the ideology behind Liberty GB. It's a little too long to read out on the radio now, but they express in very clear terms what their goals are, what they see as being important, and in no particular order, there are six major characteristics of the ideology, which are upholding Western civilization, the primacy of national culture, the promotion of Christian ethics and morality, the principle of national preference, which is to say national preference for Britain and the British people, keeping the indigenous British in perpetual majority, and the British people's ownership of Britain itself. Now, as I say, I'm not going to go into every one of those things now because we don't have the time. But nevertheless, if anybody wants to know what Liberty GB is all about, take a look at the page which lists those ideological points. Take a look at the mission statement. Take a look at the manifesto that they have. If you go to the main homepage on the website, you can find all these things in the bar that runs across the top. Take a look at them all and think, compare and contrast them with what the mainstream parties have been telling us for the past 30 or 40 years, and you will find a lot in Liberty GB to applaud. And I suggest, well, I urge you all to take a look, and if you're not impressed by what you read, I'd be very surprised. I was certainly very impressed the first time I read it, and I've reread it, the manifesto and the ideology and the mission statement, several times just to get it clear in my mind what it is that Liberty GB are all about. And I think a party like Liberty GB is sorely needed. They certainly impress me with what they propose to do, and I think they deserve our support, and I would very much like to see them in power in the future. And you can make it happen, ladies and gentlemen. It only needs a few more people. I say a few more. Well, all right, a lot more. We need a lot more people to recognise that our existing political parties are simply not doing the job for which they're paid, and they never will. They are complacently sitting there waiting for us to vote for them, and as long as we're silly enough to vote for them rather than a party like Liberty GB that can make a real difference, as long as we vote for these other mainstream parties, we'll never see any change. So I say to you all, ladies and gentlemen, everybody who listens to this show, get out there, they're saying. Go and talk about it to your friends. Go and talk about it to your work colleagues. Go and talk about it to everybody you meet. And make a difference. So back to you, Kel.
And we have a question from the chat room. And this is from Ron. He wants to know how he can get in touch with you. So, Tim, if you could read out your website and your email, that would be wonderful.
Well, the email's the easy one, so I'm going to type that into the chat room as we speak, and it's catstrangler101@gmail.com, and that's by far the easiest way to get in touch with me. I do have a blog. However, I don't update it very often, as often as I should. I always look at my email every day. So if there's anybody out there who's got any questions or they'd just like to pop in and say hello, that email address is probably the best one to reach me on. So there we go, catstrangler101@gmail.com.
And there you go. And on that note, Tim, thank you so very much.
Yes, it's been a pleasure, Kel. It really has. I always enjoy appearing on the Liberty GB radio show with yourself, and I certainly hope that our listeners enjoy it too. And I look forward to doing the same again next week, and I look forward to hopefully having a lot more of our listeners come back next week and listen to what we've got to say.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, you can hear the Liberty GB right here, Sunday afternoons, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. British Summer Time. Wonderful, wonderful program. Wonderful, wonderful turnout for the EU elections. Congratulations to Paul Weston, Jack Buckby, Enzo Fieri, and, of course, George Weah. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Tim Burton and Kel Fritzy of Liberty GB Radio. We will see you back here next week. Have a great night, Tim.
Yeah, you too, Kel. Have a great night. And to all our listeners, have a great night, and we'll see you next week.